take the first step when I don't know the way. Each turn is so uncertain. I learned to walk by faith. But you gave me a promise that you would never leave. You will lead and guide me. Lord, I do believe.
Lead me, Lord. I will follow. Lead me, Lord.
For though at times I feel alone, I know that you are near. My heart just wants to follow. I'm willing to obey. Just take my hand and lead me. I'll follow all the way.
Lead me, Lord.
Where's your heart this morning? You know, when God calls us, and you know, all that precious blood that Jesus shed for you and I. He loved us even, but he still sees us, and he knows our hearts, and he knows that we need to turn our life over to him. It was done for you and me. Will you follow him when he calls you? Will you let him guide you in each and every direction? Just praise God, praise God. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. That just touched me this morning. I just love the Lord. I always do love the Lord. I love it that he can share his love through me and that all of his blessings and all the situations. Let's all stand, if you will. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up. I thought I heard my voice. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry. Are they... You want to stand in for this morning? Come on up, sister.
No, church. Opportunity we have to show our faith. He's with us no matter what.
Praise the Lord. Just thank Him that we can always come to, no matter what the time is, no matter what the situation, but we can call on the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. As we're standing and we're going to our morning prayer, I know there are a lot of situations out there, a lot of prayer needs. I just ask you to keep them in mind. Those text blasts that we've got, those in the prayer box, those that you'll see posted in different situations. But if you have a prayer need this morning, just show by the raising your hand. You know a situation, just a touch from God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we love You, God. Lord, we call on Your name. Dear Lord, we ask You now, dear Lord, as we open this service, Lord, we just want to praise You. Lord, we want to worship You. Lord, we want to thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Lord, thank You for allowing us to come into Your holy presence. Dear Lord, thank You for salvation. Dear Lord, thank You for that precious blood that You shed for each and every one of us, dear Lord. Lord, as we stand here now, dear Lord, their names, their situations that's just in our mind and our hearts. Lord, we're lifting each and every one up to You right now. Lord, those that are sick and shut in and not able to be with us. Lord, those that are watching online that maybe they're in a situation where there's no way they could be in service this morning, dear Lord, or at a later date. But Lord, we just ask You to touch their prayer requests, their needs. Lord, those in this congregation, dear Lord, You've given us, dear Lord, so much love. Dear Lord, we just want to praise You. We want to thank You for Your healings. We want to thank You for Your presence. Lord, now we're going to pray for those that are lost this morning. Lord, I pray that Your word goes forth, that Your love is shown, dear Lord, that Your mercies, dear Lord, that You allow those situations, dear Lord, to be brought forth to You, that, Lord, allow them to find a home, Lord, a place of repentance, dear Lord, that they can just fall on their knees and worship and praise You and let You fill their lives. Dear Lord, may Your word continue, dear Lord, just to bless its situations, and we know that it's intended to. Lord, we ask You to bless our pastor, our church, our sanctuary, all the ministries that go forth out of this congregation. But Lord, You've blessed us so much. And Lord, now we're placing each and every need into Your mighty, mighty hands. And Lord, we're declaring it done in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that You are, the Lord, that You are the great I am. And Lord, we just praise and worship You and give You all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen,
amen, amen. Praise God. I know they sing it, and I don't have the words, but He's an on-time God, isn't He? Amen, amen. While you're standing, this was on my heart earlier this morning. Turn to page 305, the old rugged cross. As I've said many, many times, this song's not just for Easter season. It's for all seasons. Jesus died for you and I. Praise God.
Yeah.
God. You may be seated if you can. Praise God. I've got a couple of announcements before we take up the morning offering. Don't forget, this Sunday night, Brother TJ will be ministering to us tonight at 6 p.m. Make plans to come. Love to have y'all. Be in much prayer for the service tonight. There will be some other churches, I'm sure, others that are invited, his church. And we're just going to be a wonderful time in the Lord. Just praise God. That'll be tonight at 6 p.m. Also, Ida Bell has a new announcement. Sounds really exciting. They're making a change. They're going to change their meeting time. For many, many years, it's been the same way. And this is a new experience for them. And they're really excited about it with the early darkness and all the situations for the ladies. They've made a decision to change to the first Saturday of each month. They're going to be doing it on Saturday mornings. And unless there's further change, it'll be from 10:30 to 12. And so the first one will be March 4th. Make plans, ladies, to come. It'll be March 4th, Saturday morning, over in the Curtis Center from 10:30 to 12. And also right after that, they're going out to lunch. It's a chance for y'all to visit and have an opportunity just to minister to each other and just be there for each other. But it'll be March 4th from 10:30 to 12. And right after that, they're going over to the Olive Tree here in Villarica for lunch, and they're asking each one, it'll be a $10 cost on the lunch. Everybody just make plans to come. You come for the service, and then you go get a chance to go to lunch too. So it'll be a wonderful time. That'll be the first Saturday of each month. And if there's any changes, Sister Linda then will give us an update. They're trying to fit everybody in. There's a lot with child care and everything else going on, so it gives them a chance to come. So wonderful ministry. Just take a chance if you can to join them. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. It's only announcements I have before I... No hands. Okay, great. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen.
My visions, I It's when my frustrations get so out of hand. Oh, it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. Look at all my victories. The Spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered a victory's without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing of decision, and the adversary says, give in. Just hold on, my Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself that I would surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he'll shield the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says give in. Just hold on, my Lord will show up, will take you through the fire again. Just hold on, my Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire
about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would, though it undo in you.
Hallelujah, amen, amen.
Who would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh,
He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. There ain't no sinner that He can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and His grace is free. And the good news is I know that He can do for you what He's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah.
Jesus. Oh, if you got about a week and a half, I could just get started. Amen. Has Jesus been good to you? Any of the greatest friend that ever was? Amen. I've asked Sister Lisa to do a song. She said she hadn't done it in a while, but it's been on my heart and on my mind. Kind of leads into the message this morning, so I'm going to graciously ask her, and she's graciously accepted, so... I'll take Jesus.
I'll stand for Jesus.
I'll stand for Jesus.
Test, test.
And let the world go by.
Let's try Elf.
In a world filled with pleasure, we're tempted and tried. All that we have here on this earth, the less we're satisfied. The only thing that's lasting comes from on high. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'll claim His promise, He will supply. We'll walk together, my Lord and I. I'll stand for Jesus. Now it's time to depart from the soul body of mine. I don't want one thing free to sail through the sky. That's why I'm walking with Jesus, and let the world go by. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'll claim His promise, He will survive. We'll hold together, the Lord and I. I'll stand for Jesus. I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by.
Amen. Can we honestly say that this morning? I'll stand for Jesus and let this old world go by. Amen. How many knows we got a better place to go to? I mean, knows it's not as long as it has been. Amen. One of these days, we're going to leave this old world of all of its strife, situations, problems, and all those things that come along with living in this world. And we're going to go to a prepared place. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of St. Matthew in the 22nd chapter. As you're turning, let all of our visitors know how much we love them, how glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us. This morning, I feel the Holy Ghost. I said, I feel the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. I would not want to go to church if I didn't feel the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And how many knows that you can feel Him not only in church? Been feeling a mighty presence of God this week. Just an awesome presence of God. Just a thickening and a saturation of His Holy Spirit. And I would not have taken anything for this. Amen. It's just, and it's not that we can't feel the Lord at all times. Sometimes He's just special. Sometimes He just knows just what we need. Sometimes He knows how to comfort us. He knows how to lift us up. He knows how to change situations in our life. And I'm so thankful for that. I don't want to keep you standing long, but in the 22nd chapter of the book of St. Matthew, beginning with verse number 1, we'll read down through verse number 6. And then you may be seated. Thank you for standing as we read the word of the Lord this morning. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again, everybody say again, by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, everybody say again. He sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and treated them terribly and spitefully, and slew them. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for Your Spirit, God, for what we've been made to feel, not only in this service, but this week. God, we're so thankful. Father, I pray that there will be a continuation of Your outpouring of Your Spirit upon this service this morning. God, anoint our ears. God, anoint my lips. God, anoint this vessel. God, speak to us that You would have us to hear, God. Pray, Lord, that You would bless those who stand in need of prayer. Many are sick. Many are afflicted. Some have lost loved ones, Father, and I pray, God, that You would minister unto them. God, I pray now that You would just fill this sanctuary with Your Spirit. God, let us feel that anointing, that precious latter rain that was talked about in the Word of God. Father, I humbly ask that You help this vessel, God, this morning to speak what You would have us to hear. We'll give You praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. Man, I hope you enjoy doing that, because we're going to praise the Lord forever and ever and ever in that glorious place that He has prepared. My. You're never going to get tired of praising the Lord when we get over there. This morning, I want to bring a message entitled, Nothing. Everybody say nothing. Here
is worth it. Nothing here is worth it. That subject has been on my heart, especially this week for some reason. And I said, Lord, is there a message there? Is there something for me? Is there something for the church? Is there something for society? God would not allow me to leave this particular subject matter. So I began to search the scriptures, and I came upon again this parable of Jesus. I remember hearing this preached when I was a young boy, and I thought about who would not want to go to a wedding? Who would not want to go to a wedding supper or marriage supper? But Jesus, again, we find, is teaching in parables. Why parables? Because it was understood by the multitudes and the people that he talked to. He used stories. That's a parable. And he used stories to represent the thought or the doctrine or the teaching that he wanted to share with the people, something that they could relate to. So he used the things of common everyday practice there. And this, he brings up the subject matter of a marriage. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with the Jewish customs, and they are somewhat different than the marriages of today. We find that in Jewish customs, and particularly this time of that we're talking about when Jesus was alive, that, you know, it wasn't the courting ritual. It wasn't, what is it? There's something they don't use at Facebook. They hook up somewhere else now, right? It's not TikTok. It's Snap, Crackle, Pop. That's right, yeah. That's where they hook up and hang out. Well, you young people are not going to be real thrilled about the story that Jesus gave, because the parents were the one that arranged the marriage. Many times the groom and the bride didn't even know one another. They came from different families, and the marriage was prearranged. But it was a big ordeal. It was one of the biggest things that could take place in a family. So we find that Jewish custom tells us that, you know, and there's so much symbolism here. And so, and I want to bring the groundwork so that we can see what Jesus was trying to get upon. I want to just clear your mind. Jesus was not really concerned about who went to the marriage and who did not. But he used that as an analogy. He used that as a teaching tool. And you're going to see how that he lays the groundwork for a mighty, wonderful invitation to the lost to come into the kingdom of God. I first want to remind you that the most important thing about this parable is the first four words of the second verse. The kingdom of heaven. Say that with me this morning. The kingdom of heaven. Now, if I confuse you with my ministry, please get back to the fact that we are talking about the kingdom of heaven. Say it again. The kingdom of heaven. How many knows it's important? How many knows it's the most important thing that we need to be concerned with in this world is the kingdom of heaven, the family of God, salvation to the lost, coming to an altar of repentance, giving our life, our soul, and our heart to Jesus Christ, opening the door and saying, Jesus, come into my life, save me, fill me, wash the sins away, and make me ready for the kingdom of heaven. But as Jesus was using this analogy, he began to talk about the marriage supper and how the king gave an invitation. Now, in the Jewish custom, it was the father who bestowed gifts upon the bride. It wasn't the dowry that some countries use where the bride brings so much to the wedding. That didn't take place in my marriage either, now that I think of it. But it wasn't that custom. The custom was that the father of the groom would bestow. In fact, what he did was he purchased her. Come on, church. Get with me. Get out of the marriage. Get the symbolism here. The father purchased the bride. Do you not see some symbolism there? How many is glad to know that we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen. We couldn't afford it. There's no way you and I could ever have afforded salvation. There is not a person here today nor alive today that could do enough good, enough merit, enough moral things to make it to the kingdom of heaven. We had to be purchased from God by the blood of Jesus Christ to make us prepared for the glorious place. That goes more. Jewish custom tells us that not only did the Father bestow gifts and purchase the bride, but the groom gave gifts to his bride. Hallelujah. Associating the groom to be Jesus, the church to be the bride. Not only does he give us salvation, but he gives us benefits. Hallelujah. With his stripes, we are healed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He gives us blessings. He gives us anointings. He opens up doors. He's the greatest comforter that there ever was. He's better than any friendship that we can have here on this earth. He sticketh closer than a brother. He will not leave us nor forsake us. So, the marriage was taking place. Now the king sent his servants out. To who? The Jewish people. The Jewish people. That were the first ones to receive the announcement or the invitation, if you would. I mean, you Bible readers know that Christ was sent to the house of Israel first and foremost. And then we Gentiles came in later. Listen to the story. The king sent his servants to tell those that were invited to come. Now, it was the greatest of honors to be invited to a marriage supper, to a marriage feast, especially one that the king gave for his son. In other words, there should not be any other reason other than sickness or death to keep you from attending this marriage supper. But yet it was not received very well. They made light of it. They said, let me use today's analogy. I ain't got time for it. Got too many things going on in my life. Too many irons in the pot. You better clean the pot. Take some of those irons out. All those irons are worth nothing when it comes to salvation. They made light of it. One said, I got a farm. The other one said, I got merchandise or a business that I must attend to. I want you to understand that Jesus is not telling them to neglect your farm, to neglect your merchandise, to neglect your business, to neglect your family, to neglect anything. He's just saying, you better lay it aside right now because the invitation has come to you and you better accept the invitation and come to the marriage feast and be a part of the kingdom of God. I've been preaching for a number of years, but I heard preaching in my adolescence time, in my teenage years, and thank God the word has never changed. There's still an invitation going out. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah and thank you, Lord. When the church quits preaching invitation, the church is going to dry up. When the church quits reaching out for lost souls, the church is going to become a social activity rather than a saving haven for lost souls. But they made light of it. Got time to go to church. I don't care about going to church. I don't care about serving God. You know, I saw something on Facebook that just absolutely made me want to upchuck. But it said, it gave a list of celebrities who don't believe in God. Believe in God. And I'm sure there's probably other people as well who are breathing God's breath, who are living in a body that was formed and fashioned by the mighty hand of God Himself. Oh, by the way, I still do believe in creation.
Man. Always believe in creation. Why? Because it's in the Bible. And regardless of what scientists say, regardless of what people say, I'm going to listen and I'm going to adhere to the Word of God. Always, without fail, refer to the Word. Amen. The Word is truth. The Word will set you free. But it was sickening to hear that there are people today that don't believe in God. I don't want any part of that religion. That fanatic stuff. You know, we've been praying, and I mentioned this, we've been praying for revival. How many would lift your hand and say, yeah, I've been praying for revival. I've been praying that God has sent down His Spirit. And you know what? I guarantee you, you was probably praying like me. You thought it was going to happen here in First Pentecostal Church. And it could. But it hadn't. It hadn't. We have a few filter in. We have some. Amen. But it's not what I would call revival. Revival is when I ain't got to go to church. I got to get to church. Revival is, oh, I need to pray. No, revival is, I got to pray. Revival is not, well, he said, raise your hand. No, revival is, praise God, I love you. Not only praying and thanking Him in church, but everywhere that you go. So we were praying revival, and lo and behold, it's starting to break out. Not in the church. In colleges. Hey, that's all right with me. I got no problem with that. I got no problem with wherever you get right with the Lord. That's great. Anywhere I find an altar is a sacred place to me. So let it break out in the colleges. Let it break out in the high schools. Let it break out. Amen. Whatever it takes. Amen. Because I want to tell you something. He invited those of the house of Israel. They would not come. I'm too busy. Got too many things going on. I'll make it a little later. That really doesn't set well with a pastor. When this pastor, when I get my life straight, I'm going to get in church and get right with God. Can't do it. Can't straighten your life out. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. So the servants came back and they told the king, they don't want to come. They got farms to go to. They got businesses to attend to. They got schedules that they must meet. They got too many things going on in their life. They're too busy. Nothing here is worth it. Nothing here is worth it. I'm going to get very emotional for just a moment, if I may. Because it goes hand in hand. Mom just went home to be with the Lord just a few weeks ago, January 29th. In anticipation, we had already known, she'd already downsized, and a lot of the things that were precious to her and to her to the family were dispersed. Some things were given away, some things were sold in a yard sale and put in the bank for her. To stay there at Ashbrook. And so there really wasn't a whole lot of downsizing to do when she took her final breath and received her wings to go home to be with the Lord. But all those things that were special to her in her life, mementos, photographs, pictures, she had a collection of pewter. She had a collection of coffee cups. She had a collection of all of those effort that she really, you know, took a lot of pride in. But she never asked for those on her deathbed. Not once did she mention any of that. We still have, family still has some of the things that were special to her, but she never took any of it with her. Especially as those things were in her lifetime, they meant nothing to her at her transition. I'm going to tell you,
You may take a lot of stock in a lot of things that you have. It may be in a lot. You may think that you can't do without it, but there's going to be a day. There's going to be a time when none of that is going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter when we close our eyes in death, if we are sealed with the Holy Ghost, if the power of the Lord, the blood of Jesus, has been applied to our sinful nature. And I want to tell you, you're not going to be sad about leaving any of it, because nothing here is going to matter to you. Nothing here is going to be worth it, causing you not to attend the heavenly kingdom. Because everything that I have need of is already applied there for me, waiting, prepared. King, I'm sorry to tell you. God, I'm sorry to tell you. They don't want to come. They're too busy. Lord, some said that they got businesses to attend to. Some said that they got land to see about, farms to take care of. Work schedules that they must meet. Time just does not allow me at this particular time to be a part of the marriage feast. Also, it was considered very disrespectful for someone to turn down an invitation to come to the marriage feast. It was probably one of the biggest things that happened in that family's life for the year. The marriage, their son. And you should be honored to come to the house. Be a part of it. Oh, I'd love to come. I'd love to be a part of the kingdom of God, but I just can't right now. King was upset. He's upset. So again, he sent them out. They offered all kinds of excuses. Every pastor that I've talked to could write a book about excuses. None of them will hold up. Listen, I'm not talking about having to come to church. A lot of people are, oh, you're preaching, you got to be at church. You need to be. You ain't got to be. Saved. Be a part of the kingdom of heaven. But you know something? I found out when I got saved and filled with the power of the Lord, I wanted to be at church. Amen? I wanted to communicate. I wanted to feel the presence of God. I wanted to see the light and the faces on those, amen, that was a part of the family of God. Again, he sent them, and they came back with the same story. They don't want to come. They gave excuses. King was very wroth, very upset. Especially when he found out that this time they killed the messengers. They treated them awful, spitefully, and then slew them. Again, this is a parable. But it's so significant because it lays out in chronological order exactly what happened. God gave the invitation. Jesus Christ is the groom, and the bride is the church. Amen? There's many today that will not answer, that will not come to be a part of the body of Christ or the bride of Christ. So he sends out his messengers, prophets. You remember in the Old Testament, prophets warning them. Isaiah, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Joel, the one who prophesied. Oh, man, of men and women, or men dreaming dreams, and your young men seeing visions, and all those things are coming to pass. And they laughed at them, and they made spiteful use of them. And in many cases, they killed the prophets. So Jesus is not talking about an ordinary wedding. But the people he's talking to can relate to it. They said, oh, that's terrible. You mean they were invited and they didn't come? What could have been so important that they would not have dropped what they were doing and come to the marriage feast when the whole time they were preaching themselves under condemnation and under conviction? So the king was very, very wroth. You read the rest of the story. Very mad. This time he sent out his army and he rounded them all up and he slew them. Oh, Brother Eddie, that's pretty rough.
Let me tell you something. Judgment will be rough. But I want to tell you, it will be fair. God is the only righteous judge. Amen. He's the only one that has the book that knows everything about us. Even the thoughts that we think. Our innermost secrets in our heart. He knows it all. And the story Jesus is conveying to the people is you need to be a part of the heaven, of the kingdom of heaven now. There is no excuse. There's no reason. There's nothing in this world worth giving up your opportunity to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And Brother Eddie, I got to give it up all. No, no, no. Some of the wealthiest people in the Bible were sold out to God. They put God first. Abraham, David, Solomon. Amen. Many, many others. Job. Lost everything he had. But you know what? God multiplied and gave him more than he ever had to begin with. Why? Because in all of his struggles, all of his trouble, all of his trials, he fell down and worshiped God. He realized that the kingdom of heaven is worth more than anything here on this earth. And I say, world, when are we going to wake up? And we're going to realize that we must seek the kingdom of heaven. We must seek God and his righteousness. We must accept Jesus Christ as our Lord. And again, if it breaks out in the colleges, more power to it. Amen. I hope it breaks out in every college. I hope they start having more than they had, amen, at the Super Bowl. Wouldn't it be nice if revival broke out at the Super Bowl? Well, as long as it happens during intermission. There's things in this life that may seem important, but nothing is as important as getting your heart and your soul right to be with the Lord. Then he says, the marriage supper is here and it's ready and the food has been prepared, but we have no guests. So I want you to go out into the highways, into the streets, the places that you would not ordinarily invite people to the marriage supper. And I want you to go out and I want you to gather as many as you can. I think it says down in there, both good and bad. I don't know about you, but I was one of the naughties. I was one of the bads. I may not have received a written invitation, amen, to come into the kingdom of God, but I'm so glad that one day he opened it up to the Gentile nation. He opened it up to an old country boy from Carroll County, Georgia, one who did not deserve it, one who was lost, one who was on his way to hell, but he said, go and get him too. Tell him he's more than welcome to come into, glory to God, into the kingdom of heaven. And he's still calling today. Forget about earning it. Forget about trying to be good enough. You can't. That's the reason Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, so that his shed blood could wash away our sins and give us a seat at the marriage feast of the Lord. Somebody ought to be thankful. Somebody ought to praise the Lord this morning. But nothing here is worth it. You know, it's often been said, what would you take? What would you put in your casket? What would you want to be at your burial site? And I would share with you, it really doesn't matter. That's for the family to remember by. Because that corpse that's in that casket is a part that's going back to the earth. The soul has been loosed. And you know what? It hasn't happened, nor do I foresee it happening, that mother's soul is going to come back and say, ooh, I wish I'd have brought that. I really put a lot of great worth on that when I was here. I wished it. In fact,
I don't even think she thought twice about it. Nor any other saint of God who dies or leaves this walk of life to take up their abode in a glorious place. Oh, my Lord. Heaven's sounding sweeter all the time. I want to go, don't you? I plan to be there, don't you? I don't want nothing here to hinder me. I don't want nothing here to make me say, wait a minute, let me go back and get this. Don't get me wrong. I love what God has blessed me with. Many people call them treasures, mementos, heirlooms, all of those wonderful things. And if you go to my upper room, you'll see a bunch of stuff that Penny calls junk that just means so much to me. But you know what? I can take nothing with me. None of that's going with me. And then Penny says, well, why do you keep buying it? She's more religious than I am. And if you ask Karen, Daddy, if you ain't used it in 3 months, you don't need it. Honey, I ain't even used my brain in 3 months. I think I need it. Why? Because I might use it one of these days. Nothing more satisfying than walking into your building and picking up some, oh, man, there's where that thing is. I need that. But none of it's going with me. Not my business, not my farm, not my land, not my heirlooms, nothing. Because you don't need it. You don't need it. You got to understand that body is going to be changed. Glory to God. A glorified body. It doth not yet appeared what we shall be. Amen. I don't know. Somebody said, what are we going to look like in heaven? I'm going to look happy. I don't know about y'all. Amen. That's like I was in the bread business. I spent 34 years in the bread business. Somebody said, man, you spent a long time. Let me ask you something. What would you be if you wasn't a bread man? I looked and I said, happy. I don't know what I'm going to look like in heaven, but I'll guarantee I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to be sad. I'm not going to be thinking about anything I left here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what? I'll take Jesus. And let the world go by. I said, I'll take Jesus. Let the world go by. Nothing here is worth it. The parable said, go to the highways, the streets, wherever you can. Gather them up that my house may be filled. I want to share this with you about an end time revival. There are going to be people saved you never thought in your wildest dreams would ever be saved. That's because we've been judgmental. Aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't judgmental? He opened it up to the Gentiles. Everyone. There is not a person today that does not qualify to receive the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, it's up to them. It's up to us. But it's open for everyone. Go out to the highways, the hedges, go out to the ghettos, go out to the homeless, go out wherever you can, find those who are hungry, find those who will come and accept the invitation and come into the kingdom of heaven, because that's what we're trying to build up, not First Pentecostal Church, not just to necessarily fill up the pews, but to fill up the kingdom of heaven. It ought to be first and foremost preached from every pulpit in every church. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Give your life to the Lord now while you have that opportunity. You're one breath away from eternity. One heartbeat away from heaven or hell. Oh, Brother Eddie, that's hard. What was the parable? He sent his army out to slay them who rejected, would not accept the invitation. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and 7 simply says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We brought nothing into this world. And it is certain it will carry nothing else. The only thing that's going to cause me to enter into that heavenly kingdom is the DNA, the blood of Jesus Christ. And he's opened that door for you. Whoever you are, whatever you've done. He said, go get the good and the bad. Why does the good have to be saved? Because your goodness can't save you. You can be as good as you can keep every commandment in the Word and know the Bible from lid to lid and still die and go to hell if the blood of Jesus has not been applied to your life. Think about it, church. Think about it, lost person, if you're here today and you've not made that preparation, if you've not opened your heart's door, don't tarry. Don't wait till a convenient time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Accept Jesus today while you still have the opportunity. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. You musicians, if you would come, play something softly. I want to reiterate, nothing here is worth it. Oh, we all have things we love. We all have activities we love. And I want you to understand that Christ is not saying, you have to give all that up. You just have to make that secondary. Because he has to be, not only desires to be, but has to be the first and most important thing in our life, has to be Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things can be added. And you can enjoy them for a time. But never let them come between you and God. Play when you get ready. Every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying. Reverence the Holy Spirit that is in this place today. The convicting power of God. You see, I can't draw you to the altar, but the convicting power of God can. It wasn't someone or a preacher or anybody who come and got me and said, you need to go to the altar. No, it wasn't that. Something gripped my heart. Something convicted my soul. Something brought to my memory, if you die tonight, where would you spend eternity? And it concerned me, so much so that I stepped out from where I was standing and I made my way down to an old-fashioned altar and asked Jesus, Lord, forgive me. I'm an old sinner. Forgive me, Lord. I was raised in church, but that doesn't save me. Forgive me, Lord. I even played the music, but that doesn't save me. I need to be born again, like the Bible says. I need to open up my heart's door and invite you in as Lord and Savior. Is there one today? I won't tarry long. If the Holy Ghost can't move you, I can't. But if there's one today that needs prayer, maybe you're born again, maybe you're saved, maybe you just want to rededicate your life to the Lord. I don't know how it stands between you and Jesus. But I do know you don't need to let anything stand between you and Jesus. Is there one today? God bless you. I love you, church. I'm going to ask you as your pastor, please come support Brother TJ as he brings the message tonight. I know sometimes Sunday evening service is a little slim, but try to make a special effort. I'm giving you an invitation to come and worship with us tonight. Amen. Brother Jim, would you come? Dismiss us with a word of prayer. Church, I love you.
His altar call's been made. The words that I remember is, do you know Jesus? It's not just knowing his name. It's having him in your heart. Praying for each and every one of you this morning, today. Don't let this time pass. We don't know tomorrow. God is calling today. Praise God. Amen. Love you. Praise the Lord. Just hope everyone, as the word's gone forth, just want to just thank God for his word. Thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for each and every one of you, for your prayers, for your attentiveness. Those of you watching online, If you have a prayer request, please put it in the comments section, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Because it's not about us, it's all about the Lord. That's Jesus Christ, and we pray in His name. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Alrighty. Again, don't forget service tonight, as Brother Eddie's giving you a personal invitation to come join us. Let's fill the house. Let's just support the Lord and support this ministry that's coming to visit with us tonight and to bring the word. Just want to give God all the glory. Alrighty. Praise the Lord. Miss Penny. I lost her. She had to step away. She said
choir practice tonight at 5.
There is? Okay, I want to make sure. It is 5 o'clock. Okay. Praise the Lord. We do have choir practice at 5 o'clock. If anybody would like to join, this is the perfect day to do it. So with this prayer, we're going to take an intermission. You're all invited back tonight. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we just love you. Lord, thank you for your word. Dear Lord, thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Dear Lord, thank you, dear Lord, for that call you've given each and every one of us. Lord, we just praise you. We worship you. Lord, as we prepare to part, dear Lord, we ask you to keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, and we just give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Praise God.